Here we go. Right.
Well, we can do this. It's not a problem.
Yeah, we are underway. So, for when we do get video viewers, this is Textbook Talks. The people who are going to listen to audio, welcome. My name is James. I'm a bit of a tech expert, or whatever you want to call it. Bit of a nerd, bit of geek. Love games, things like that. I'm just going to do a round robin. Kurt, say hello.
Hello, my name's Kurt, based in the sunny Midlands, and I am a TV-aholic. I am anything audiophile you want to imagine, and I'm here to answer your questions and hopefully have a laugh looking at the latest tech.
Cool. Mitchell.
I'm Mitchell. I'm a nerd. I love my PC and most things gaming-related. Yeah, I'm from the Midlands as well, and that's about it, really. Over to Jules.
Yeah, I'm Jules. I'm from Chester. I'm a gamer, a big music fan, and a lover of gadgets.
Awesome. Well, so yeah, so that's a slot for the moment anyway. So we are here to do a podcast every so often, go through news and things like that. Kurt, do you want to take us through CES?
Yeah, so obviously CES was a few weeks ago, so we're going to be looking at CES, what we liked, and particularly looking at the budget end, and then looking at the money no object end. So our first thing is going to be anything less than £200, so that's what we class as budget in the tech world, I think, these days, especially if you're like us and early adopters, and all your spare cash just seems to go on stuff. Which is the bane of my missus' life, but there you go. So the budget is 200. So let's start with Mitchell. You've got £200 to spend. What are you going to spend it on, mate?
So mine's actually probably the cheapest out of the lot. It's easily, at the moment, there's no price fully confirmed. It's going to be less than 100 quid. It's the Holocube, which is an augmented reality toy that's a bit of foam that when you use with an AR headset, so the Samsung headset or the Merge headset, it gives you augmented reality in a much more physical format, so you can hold, for example, the demo that I saw was of a human heart.
Is that similar to the the Star Wars thing? I've forgotten the name of it now.
Don't know.
The BB-8.
Yes, essentially, yeah. It's just a cube of foam about that big.
Yeah.
And using the headset, it turns into whatever you're looking at, so you can use it as a human heart for teaching science to people. I'm sure there's lots of more practical stuff for it.
Nice.
It just gives, for example...
Yeah, it's a great prop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a prop.
Yeah. Cool.
That's Mitchell's. That's really good, Mitchell. Some really good stuff there. And James, do you want to speak about yours?
Yeah, so for me, you probably like this coat because it's audio-based, is the JBL Pulse 3rd edition speakers. Because I absolutely love the speakers. I love the version 2 ones. They were really cool, especially when you could pair them up. And I just love the fancy lights. I'm a sucker for those lights.
Yeah, JBL have been doing a good job for years with their audio products. Yeah. Such a big company, so many different arms, which for some reason they'd like to use different names for all the different arms. But their stuff is amazing. Audio-wise is just out of this world. And particularly like on the Pulse 3s, they're now waterproof, aren't they?
Yes. And especially things like the clips as well. They're doing a lot more with it now, I think.
It just means you can take it wherever you want, which is what you want from a portable speaker. You want to be able to go out in the barbecue. Yep. You want to get some sauce on it. You want to get some beer on it. Yep. And you don't want it to start exploding and blow your hands off while you're trying to eat chicken.
They're handy for festival season as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, mate, definitely.
Yes.
Hey, Jules, you got 200 quid to spend. What are you spending it on?
So probably on the surface of it, one of the lamest things at CES, it's a camera for your fridge. Okay, so it's about $100, so well within our budget. Basically, it sits in your fridge. Every time you open the door and illuminate the fridge, it'll take a little picture of what's inside, send it to the app on your phone. So when you're shopping the next day and you go, how much milk do I have? You can just open up your phone and go, I've only a quarter left, I'll buy some more. So if you're forgetful, or if you eat a lot, you drink a lot of milk, you drink a lot of beer, and you don't want to go home and go, no beer. It's perfect. For less than $100.
It is great for the no beer.
It also saves money on no divorces. because you're not having domestic. Because why have I got no eggs? I've got steak but no eggs. Why have I not got any?
Why do you make me a cup of tea in the morning? There was no milk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really like that idea. I think that generally, this is the way we're going now. Everything's going over to smart stuff. Obviously, I saw a smart brush the other day as well, which tells you how long to brush your hair for. And things like that. Yeah, yeah, so it tells you how long to brush your hair for. Are you damaging your hair, Mitchell?
Yep.
Are you damaging your hair? Do you need to brush it longer? What sort of nutrients have you got in your hair? It's like everything is going smart. Some things are a good idea. Some things are a bad idea. I definitely think the fridge is a good idea, or the fridge camera. But some of it is just absolutely crazy.
That smart brush, that sounds just wrong.
I need one. That's it. I need one. That's all I need now.
I wonder if they're going to do a smart peanut brush, maybe.
Maybe.
That could work.
Or a smart toilet roll holder.
Okay. What would it tell you?
Not a lot, really. It goes, right, you're out of blue roll.
Well, I'll tell you what I really like, which is really simple. Has everybody seen the Amazon dash buttons?
Yes.
No.
So you got a little dash button, stick it next to things. So, for example, toilet roll. You're on the crapper. You realise you've used the last of the toilet. Press the button. Boom. Amazon have ordered some more for you. There you go. Next day turns up. You ain't going to be sitting on the toilet with no loo roll.
Unless you don't have any in the first place. Then you're going to be there all night waiting for it to turn up.
Amazon have got drones now. The drones are coming. through your toilet window. Catch it in your hands. Boom.
Happy ending.
Brilliant.
Right. So it's my turn.
Yeah.
So I've got £200 to spend. So mine is something that I've actually purchased straight off the bat, which is the NVIDIA Shield 2017. For anybody that doesn't know what this does, the question is, what doesn't it do? It does everything. So you've got your usual normal stuff that you'll get from a media server on there. So you've got things like Netflix, BBC iPlayer, all your things that you can play straight through the device. It's got Plex Media Server built in, so you can stream anything that you've got on there to your own devices.
Nice.
And then on top of that, it's got lots of game facilities, so you can play all the latest Android games on there. So that's straight through the device. It's got a pad. But then you've got more stuff. So NVIDIA supply a streaming service. It's £8 per month if you want it, and you can stream the latest and greatest games straight from them. You do need a strong internet connection. If you're somebody with say less than 20 megabits per second, yeah.
Will it stream Football Manager?
Yes, it will.
That's sold.
Also, and then the last thing you can do with it, which is also streaming facility, is as long as you've got an NVIDIA graphics card, I believe 6,000 and above, you can stream straight from your home PC to it as well. So it will recognize any games you've got. Any games that you've got on your PC, it'll immediately recognize the majority of them. If it doesn't recognize it, you can tell it where the games are stored, and then you can stream it straight from your PC upstairs. So you can then sit in your living room, in your boxer shorts, and carry on playing. All nice. Good.
Like the sound of that.
And then the last thing that this has got, which is really good, which is not on there right away, but it's coming soon, is they're incorporating all the smart home facilities. So it's going to have the equivalent of a Google Home built in. So it's going to be able to do your lights, everything like that. The actual controller that comes with it is an active listening controller, so the microphone is always on. So you can do your usual OK Google stuff, and it will control all your home the way a Google Home would.
Nice.
And they're also bringing out extension speakers, a bit like your Amazon Dot. And literally that just plugs into a socket, so you could plug that in upstairs, and then that would connect to the Shield. So you could be upstairs and you could say, okay, Google, turn on my living room lights, and it will turn on the living room lights. So as you walk down the stairs, the lights are already on, so you don't trip on the 1,000 things on your stairs.
Love it.
So that's as you can see, the NVIDIA Shield is good because it's covering a lot of bases, so it's doing a lot of things, so you don't need to buy multiple different gadgets. This will do a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
It will work with pretty much all the new smart home stuff, and then you've got the streamer built in as well. So if you haven't got a smart TV, or even if you have, it's going to give you better performance. It's 4K compatible. It's HDR compatible, which we'll talk about a little bit more in the more expensive parts.
Yeah.
Definitely worth picking up.
And you've said you've picked one up.
Yeah, I've picked one up, mate. It's absolutely fantastic. The only thing I say against it is the standard model's got 16 gig internal, but yeah. any USB 3 flash drive or hard drive will work with it. So I just picked up 120 gig SSD external, which was like £70. Ooh. I picked that up, plugged that in, and that's more than done it.
Yeah,
that's so cool. It runs absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
That is not bad at all.
Well, that's right. For section one done.
So for section two, then, we've got the money's no object. And we'll start off with Kurt this time.
So for me, the one that's impressed me the most is the new series of LG TVs, known as the W series. It's called the W series because it's like wallpaper. Yeah, it's literally that thin. It's 9.7, was it? I'm trying to remember the bloody thing now. But it's 2.57 millimeters in thickness. So this is flexible and easily mountable on the wall. It comes with its own wall mount, which uses basically one clip and magnets. So you attach the wall mount to the wall, clap the one clip on and push it onto the wall, and it literally magnets to the wall. It's absolutely beautiful. LG are the people at the forefront of OLED technology at the moment. And as you know, the good thing about OLED is it emits its own light. So that means when you get a dark part of the screen, it doesn't have to light that up. So you're getting better blacks in contrast to your whites. And this also has all four types of HDR that's out coming out there. So at the moment, we're going through a bit of a format war with HDR. So you've got, from the top, you've got HDR10, which is the one that most people have on their TVs. You've got Dolby Vision, which works exactly the same as HDR10, but it's more customizable. So each TV will have its own profile in their list. So it will dynamically adjust for the TV that you've got.
Yeah.
Then you've got Hybrid Gamma, which is BBC's technology, which is a lot more compressed, which is what they're going to more than likely be using for all terrestrial and cable broadcasts of HDR. And then you've got Technicolor, which is a new one that's just coming out. LG are the only company that are saying, we're not getting involved in a format war. We'll just support all of them. We'll just give you everything. Yeah. Which is absolutely fantastic, because what we don't want is a situation where we're stuck with an old Betamax where we can't get tapes for those who are a little bit older. Yeah, or we're not going to end up with a HD Blu-ray. Instead of your Blu-ray, your HD DVR, which went the way of a Dodo as well.
So honestly, I've bought one.
Sometimes you make these decisions, you jump into a format as an early adopter, and then you realise you've made the wrong decision, and you can't get no stuff for it, and you have to buy the other one anyway. This isn't going to happen by having all types of HDR. And HDR, mark my words, is the most important thing for TV technologies in the next 12 months, by under slider of doubt. For those who don't know about HDR or what it does, your best way to imagine it is when you look in the sunshine at a car bonnet, it hurts your eyes. When you do that on TV, it doesn't, because the TV cannot show the contrast range that the human eye can see. HDR looks to bridge this gap. So your darks are darker, your lights are lighter. So if they show you a picture of the sun, you're going to squint a bit. You're going to go, whoa, that's bright. If you look at a dark cave, you're just going to see blackness. It's going to give you a lot more contrast and a lot more dynamic of that contrast. So it's going to look a lot better.
Cool.
And how much would something like that set you back then?
This is going to be, for the W series, you're going to be looking about the 10-15 grand mark, but they do different series. They do, their last year's one was called the G series, and they are updating that this year, and that I reckon will come in about, if you go for like the 65, you're probably looking about 5 to 7 grand. If you're looking at the smaller one, I'm probably looking at maybe getting myself a G series 55, which I reckon will be, once it's been out a little bit, it'll be about 4 grand, I reckon, which is about the sweet spot for flagship TVs, is about the 4 grand mark.
Bargain.
That is not a bad price at all.
How about you, Mitch? What's your money going on? What is your best cash going on?
For me, if money was no object, and my friends watching this are going to probably take the mick out of me for it, because it's by Razer, and it's called Project Valerie. It's their multi-display laptop.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's the one that looks like it's got three heads, isn't it? Yeah, it looks like the Cerberus dog.
Yes, yes, it does.
And that's how big is it?
I don't know, but I think it's around about a ton and a half, maybe a bit more. Possible exaggeration.
It's going to be heavy.
It's going to be heavy.
A ton per monitor.
Probably. But you get what you pay for.
You got to remember, gaming laptops in general are big, heavy beasts. And they're a bit offensive even being called laptops, because if you've got a lap that strong, you're probably a weightlifter, because it hurts your lap. You need a table, mate.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, my setup I've got currently, I wouldn't even think about trying to put this in any sort of laptop, because I need to take a desk with me wherever I go. So it's not viable, but three monitors with a green light-up logo. I'm a sucker for that. Three monitors!
Yeah, they're all 4K monitors as well, aren't they?
So you get 12K monitors there.
Sort of.
But that's how it works!
Yeah, but they were actually that. There was actually that good. There was a bit of a problem at CES, wasn't there?
There may have been.
Do you want to tell the audience what happened?
I can't remember, you know. I can't honestly remember what happened. I know they went down really well.
I think somebody robbed them, didn't they?
They may or may not have been stolen and put up for sale on a Chinese auction site for about 22 grand. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yep.
And they were probably just fake knockoffs of them.
The worst part is there wasn't one stolen, there was three.
I bet the person who was looking after them got the sack. He must have just go, I'm just going for a quick cigarette. Can someone watch the laptops? Yeah, you random guy. Just look at these laptops. Just keep them safe. Thanks. Nah, see you later.
Oh, wow.
They got a bit robbed.
That's brilliant.
I'm just going to quickly go to the dark net and look at Chinese auction sites.
Do it.
BRB.
So if you want one today and you got 22 grand to spare, Chinese auction site's where it's at.
At the minute, yeah. We digress. So what you got to talk about, James?
So for me, it would be, and this is quite an expensive one, the Faraday Future car. Because I do like the cars, I do like looking at them and things like that, and that just looks sweet. The curves on it, the fact that it's actually still looking like a concept car, Tesla do and things like that, it just looks great. And I think as long as they don't lose money and they don't run out of money, because that's what looks like it's going to happen.
They've been having some financial troubles, haven't they?
Yeah, I think the orders are going well, but it's just, I think the cost of building it is just escalating way out of proportion.
Yeah.
But it will push Tesla, we know is for electric cars, are ahead of the game of anyone else. But the actual mileage on that Faraday Future is just something else. It is nearly like a petrol car. And that's what we need to get to if it's really going to take off with electric cars, is it needs to perform and charge and have the distance and the mileage of a petrol car. Petrol cars are so easy.
Definitely. You've hit the nail on the head there. I think that generally, definitely, charge time for me is one of the biggest problems with electric cars currently at the moment. If you have to compare it to petrol cars. There's no getting around it. You've got to compare it. And when you can drive into a station, fill up your petrol car in a minute, a couple of minutes, whereas you bring your electric car in there, you're going to be sat there for an hour minimum. Yeah.
And this is
where they need to fix it.
Yeah, the BMW i3 does take an hour. I was watching the Grand Tour. They had an episode called Past and Present where they had the i3 and Golf.
Yep.
And James May, a long time to get to Devon. I think it was Devon, wasn't it? They were trying to get to.
Yeah, they were trying to get to Devon.
Yeah,
it's a great, and again, the BMW i series look great because they look like a concept car, but the charge time then is far too long.
I think that's the problem.
You've got to get it down.
the problem you're going to have is obviously you've got a big battery to charge. It's not like a phone that can do it in an hour.
Yeah.
It's going to need a hell of a lot of power to pump it into it.
Yeah.
But they clearly need to work on something to get it a viable option.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some things online about wireless charging and things like that, which I think that's probably where it's going to need to go. But again, the charge time's still going to be a long time. I don't want to be having to faff around with plugging something in, making sure I've got it the right way around, and having to turn it on.
If they could make it so it wirelessly charged, if for example, when you pull up at a traffic lights, it starts to charge from something built into the ground, that would be fantastic.
You know what they need? Dodgems.
a big stick coming out the top.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
Look at the motorways. They've got the central reservation. You've got your hard shoulder. How difficult is it to put some poles up with electric going around it and your cars just bombing down?
We probably shouldn't say that because it might give Trump ideas.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, it doesn't involve oil, so you can't invade anywhere.
If Elon Musk is watching, we can give you that idea for free. Yeah. Give us a shout.
Just give us credit, yeah.
Just a trip. Just a ride on the Hyperloop. I'd have that.
That's it. I mean, you just put Dodgem cars on the road. No one gets hurt. Less accidents. Lives are saved. Yeah, job done.
I see one small problem with that.
What's that?
People are idiots. Oh, look, he's in front of me. Floor it.
Yeah.
And then it turns into one big Dodgem fight.
But again, nobody gets hurt.
Right. Everyone has fun.
But no one gets to where they need to be either, though.
No, but they have fun doing it, though, don't they?
I suppose it would be great.
Anyway, we digress again.
Yes, yeah.
So shall we find out what Jules wants to spend her money on? Because it's burning a hole in her pocket while we're all just talking.
I need to buy this. It's a smart bed.
Go on.
So the company Sleep Number, it's their newest bed. They already do a smart bed, but at CES they revealed the 360 smart bed. So it has several features which are all linked to their app, which already exists. So the main interesting features for me were there's a foot warming function. So you tell the bed what time you go to bed, and about 15 minutes before it'll start to warm the bottom edge. It's got head...
Isn't that what my wife's legs are for?
No. Next question. in couples, there's always one person with the cold feet. And this is perfect for whoever that is. And there's always one person who snores. Well, yeah, so that's the opposite problem.
Yeah.
So you could stick a fan next to it. There you go. What it also do, if it detects a person snoring, it'll slightly raise their head on just their side to stop them snoring. If you have to get up in the night, it'll sort of light up underneath the bed very softly, just so you can get yourself back in safely. And the app as well will sync and tell you how you slept, how much you moved, and things like that.
That's actually
cool, man. How much does this cost us?
So it's estimated to be about $1,000, which I think is reasonable.
That's for not
a decent
bad.
Bed. Yeah. It does all that.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
For the price, that's all right.
Yeah.
There you go. So
I just bought a new bed.
Take it back.
Take it back.
I'm genuinely stunned by that.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm guessing because they've already done one, so they've sort of spent all the money developing that, and then this one's going to be just lots of little tweaks and improvements.
Yeah, if they're in a position to mass reduce, it brings the price down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Always. I assume that's what it is. Also, it looks cool. So if you check out the video of the little head raise and the happy sleepy people, they marked it well.
Is it really cheesy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bed.
We all love a cheesy video.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's brought to the end of that section.
Oh, quite nice.
The next bit is news.
Yes. The news bong.
So, Jules, what news have you got for us?
So, mine's all about drones. There's been a few things about drones. We mentioned earlier about Amazon and their drone funds. So, yeah. Yesterday, the day before, I think it was, they were awarded another patent, which is for after a drone drops a package, for it to adjust the package's trajectory. So what they don't want to do is land drones in people's gardens and yards in case it hits your dog or whatever. So they're going to release them from about 50 feet and then be able to affect them falling. So say there's a big gust of wind, they're going to be able to sort of knock them back on track. So that put them back in the news again. And apparently, sort of the middle of this year, they're going to start rolling out in America, apparently. But I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys would be happy with them dropping stuff off outside your house.
I wouldn't be.
I don't think it'll get to me.
No?
I think somebody's going to throw a ball at it. Somebody's going to throw something. Someone's going to smash it.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to smash it and run off with me toilet roll that I've just ordered from my dash button.
And you're stuck on the toilet.
And you're stuck on the loo with it.
I'm still there on the loo, yeah.
You see, Amazon could easily fix this. All they need to do is go to an arcade, look at the claw machines and go, put that on a drone. Oh, look, it's on the ground. It's not been dropped. And then the drone can go and deliver Kurt's toilet roll.
Interesting. Maybe you should pitch that.
Amazon, if you want that idea.
That one's not free. So the other drone news was in Dubai. I don't know if you guys saw this. They already have, I think it's 25% of their subway is driverless. And now they want to release drone taxis. So I think the first journey was made in one this week. They can go about for about 30 minutes. There's no driver. You get in, you press your destination on a screen and it just takes you there. They can go about 60 miles an hour, or they're going to go about 60 miles an hour. And I think by July, they're going to be just out there. So if you go to Dubai, you can just literally get in one.
I don't know how I feel
it's
about
that. It's kind of scary,
that. But
kind of cool, yeah. It's a weird
one. It's all about the chat with a taxi driver.
God, no.
What time did they start?
You just have to take your phone and have a chat
with
Siri.
Been busy.
That's all you could do. Yeah.
Lovely weather we're having.
Sorry, what did you say?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
There's some things that shouldn't change, and I think taxi drivers is not one of them.
No.
I'm not sure why they're so into the driverless thing over there, because obviously it's literally putting people out of jobs that do that kind of job. It's making jobs for other type of jobs, like the technical jobs and the control jobs, but the people that are literally driving the taxis, they're going to need less of them. I don't know whether it's an environmental thing as well, whether the drones are going to be better than normal cars. I'm guessing they will be.
It depends on what fuel they're using.
But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it depends how they do it, which's cheapest for them as well.
If they're using electric, they're not going to get anywhere fast.
No.
True. Yeah, so it's a weird one.
Yeah, this whole driverless thing is just, it's just worrying and exciting at the same time. It's just the amount of variables that you got to consider and the amount of times. If you're in this driverless car and you're in the back and this car could either run over two people or drive into the wall and kill you, your natural instinct would be, let's not kill me.
Yes.
But the correct computer decision is kill the dude in the car. Don't kill the two people on thing. It's two for one.
Sort of moral difficulty to overcome because,
it's so difficult.
I don't think we'll get driverless.
And then the other big one is the legal aspect. If a driverless car does crash, if it's your driverless car and it does crash, who's to blame? The manufacturer of the car? Do they need to pay for the accident? Or is it yours because it's your car? It's just such a legal ticker tape to try and worry about. It just blows your mind.
Mm-hmm. What disturbs me is I'm just reading a little bit about passenger drones. This one statement, I'm really sorry about this, Kurt, because me and you ain't going to have to go in one, mate. The drone can in turn carry one passenger up to 100 kilograms and can stay airborne for 30 minutes on one charge.
What?
100 kilogram weight limit.
So if you're from America,
you ain't
lucky kid.
No, you've got to walk.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not that far off 100 kilos.
It's pretty strange.
Yeah, but you are like a giant.
I am a giant. Viewers, I am a giant. I'm 6'10". There you go.
Well done.
Just get that out of the way. So, Mitch, what's news for you?
James, what's going on, mate?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we all talk at once.
Yeah, it happens. Well, might as well. So news for me, recently, Android Wear 2.0 has been released. Which, for me, I did like the original Android Wear, and I've had a few of their watches and things. And I'm quite excited by it. And I think this might kickstart smartwatches again, because there's a lot of things it can do which are very similar to the Apple Watch. And I think what will happen is Apple will make a much better smartwatch, and it'll just end up snowballing from there, and we'll get better and better wearable tech.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I think for me, so the two watches that were announced, the LG Watch Style and the Watch Sport, the Style, it's not that stylish. It's big ugly. I'm going to be brutal. the Sport, rather interesting because it has the LTE on it, with 4G connection. You've got GPS on it. You've got NFC on that for your Android Pay system, which I use a lot, a ridiculous amount. And I like it. I think it's going to be good. That is pretty much the news for me. Short and sweet.
So Android being your wrists.
Yeah, Android. Yeah.
Coffee near his tills.
Yeah.
Yes. Sounds good. Oh, honestly.
I think shops are starting to get used to it now. To be fair, yeah. I think you're not getting the amount of funny looks when you tap your phone on things or tap your watch on things that you used to get. So I definitely think that we are adapting to it.
The only downside is when I got my Google Pixel out to pay for a coffee at Costa yesterday, but Apple Pay. So, oh, no. No, it's not Apple. I know it looks like an iPhone. No, it's Android.
Ouch.
Just with Wear 2.0, I'm actually looking forward to the standalone Play Store rather than having to download generic third-party apps that are either going to work or not going to work.
Yes. It's going now you know it's going to be right for it.
Yes.
Mm. I know there's been a couple of app developers, Runtastic, Rava, even Uber are going to have a standalone app now, which is going to be absolutely great for people in Uber and still have a taxi driver.
A real one.
It's just great to know if your phone battery does run out and you're out on the lash, that you can still order a cab. You're all right.
Yeah.
And you can still pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a handy benefit, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, I ain't got my phone on my wallet. I've got my watch, though. Hang on.
Yeah. And let me just, I've got no GPS.
Pull up outside my house, I've got Wi-Fi, give me a couple of minutes.
That's where it's going to go, though, eventually. Yeah. It will be, a lot will be wearable, I think.
Yeah. It's the only way that can go. It's obviously started off with stuff like your Bluetooth headpieces, which they work to what they need to do.
And they still do.
Yeah, they're still used, obviously, for safety when you're driving, when you're walking around a town and you want to look like a complete and utter, I won't say it.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
Oh, I must apologise for my swear word earlier. Sorry.
I am surprised I've done quite well so far. Well, I guess that's up to me now, then, for news.
Yeah, why not?
So my news is a little bit different. It's not necessarily anything related to an item or an object. It's more related to the internet itself. This week, Anonymous have decided to take down a free hosting 2 server, which was 20% of the dark web, generally because of the stuff that it contained. So it's not good stuff. It's good stuff that they took down.
Yeah,
but they're also taking away 20% of the dark web, which another company is just going to come in and do the same thing, put another server up. But it shows that they're on the right wavelength to like fixing what is potentially broken. They took down 10,000 websites that were purely designed for sharing child pornography and stuff that isn't right or necessarily appropriate for anything.
That's good. That's very good.
It is. Whether this is going to continue in our final servers.
Yeah, the problem is it's just going onto other servers. They would be better getting access to it and like reporting it to the authorities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they did
where
that.
Where we can get these people, not just take it down so they don't have access for a few days and then it's back again.
Oh, no, no.
It's a statement, isn't it?
According to Tech Times and various other sites, Anonymous have still got access to the data that they acquired. What they're doing with it, nothing's clear yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that will become clear sooner or later.
Mm. That's...
But yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of an awkward one, really.
It is, but 20% of an entire website and websites, it's...
Yeah.
When you put it into perspective, it's massive. It's
it is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right. So okay. The next lot of news is MWC rumours.
Yes, MWC rumours, and there's rumours by the plenty.
Yes.
I honestly think this year is going to be the year of the edge-to-edge screen. We're going to be seeing a lot of phones... with less and less on that front panel. We already got the rumours that the new iPhone will be doing away with the home button. We've already got the rumours that pretty much everybody's doing away with home buttons. Yep. And screens are just going to get larger and take up more of the real estate of the front of your phone. Manufacturers are going to be there at MWC. So you've got LG, which will more than likely will announce a phone. So we'll be looking at the G6. They're going to be getting rid of the modular design, the rumours say. And just focusing on making a good solid phone, which the module last year was a good idea. I enjoyed the idea in concept, but not a lot of people actually used it.
No. I like the initial idea of it. But then, yeah, they kind of ruined it. Yeah.
Yeah, just didn't go. I think with the modular stuff, it needs to have, you need to bundle at least one in.
Yeah.
Like, have one bundled in, they're like, yo, I really like this, what else can I get? And then they'll try something else. Whereas if they never got a chance to use it, it never makes them want to buy another one because they've not seen the benefit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one that probably won't be announced at NWC, but we should see some teasers for it, are going to be the Galaxy S8, which obviously Samsung really needs to pull it out of the bag. Yes. So I'm expecting them to put some serious effort in because they've had the really bad year, haven't they? Let's all be honest.
Yeah, they first of all blew up their phones, and then the factory that was getting rid of the batteries blew up.
Yes.
It's quite a... Yeah.
It wasn't great, was it?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
The biggest concern is how it didn't get picked up in quality control. It should have got picked up originally. It shouldn't have got to market.
No, I mean, I would imagine they would have had to do battery charging tests and things like that. And what happened?
I think it was down to in my opinion, it was down to a rushed idea. They're thinking, oh no, people are getting this out, they're getting that out.
Yeah.
iPhone are releasing their next big thing, what do we do? I know, we'll just shove these in, hope to God it works, and then whoops, it doesn't.
Yeah, indeed. I just think it's... it could have been a lot better. I think what they probably, as you said, they probably just tried to compact too much into the phone itself. It's become unstable and it's just boom.
Yeah, they're also going to be, Samsung are also going to be, should be announcing their third generation S tab. So hopefully that will be good as well. So gives them something else to talk about.
Do like the Tab S2.
Tab S3. Yeah, it's a nice tab. It's a nice solid Android tab.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of those, isn't it? And then you should have loads of your other names releasing stuff. I reckon Sony will be releasing, I'd say, two. They'll be announcing probably two phones. I can see them doing a flagship and a mid-ranger this time. Huawei is supposed to be doing as well.
Yeah, have you seen the rumors on the P10 and the renders that have just been released?
Not yet, but I'm about to.
I think it was EVLink who leaked it out, and they look stunning. I mean, there's the standard silver one, you've got a blue one, and you've got a green one, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, there's also gold as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I try to ignore. That does look nice. I'm not a big fan of gold phones.
No.
But am I intrigued about the green one? That does look rather nice.
That does.
There's not enough green things in the world.
There isn't.
No, really? This is true.
Now, the rumour that most intrigues me is, are the new Nokia stuff going to be good?
Oh, the new Nokia
3310's coming back.
Yes, please!
Yep. Have a flagship as well, they reckon.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know, for all our listeners, so Nokia obviously sold off to Microsoft, so all the hardware manufacturing capabilities all went off to Microsoft. Microsoft have then, then Nokia, who have retained the name, have then sold the name to a Chinese conglomerate, who are then going to be making new Nokia phones under that name. So hopefully these will not be a poor shadow of their previous selves, and hopefully we should see some good stuff coming back out with the Nokia brand. I'm for one hoping that we have a resurgence and a remade 3310 would bring a smile to my face. So. Just thinking about it makes me smile.
All I wanted is Snake, a batch of little last years. That's it. That'll keep me happy.
Yeah.
Well, there was some guy in the paper the other day who'd been to the army and he'd smashed it about and he'd had it like 20 years and his 3310 was still working. You can't say that these days with many other phones, can you?
No.
Phone, it stops working.
Bit of a sore point right there.
Agreed.
Anything else, Kurt?
As I say, MWC next week. Week after, 24th. So hopefully that we should see some good stuff. I'm hoping that they bring some big announcements. I think in recent years, MWC have been a little bit of a anticlimax because a lot of the manufacturers started to get a little bit big for their boots and started to keep their announcements away from things. Whereas I like everybody to announce at the same time of year so we can have an event where we've got multiple things coming out all at once rather than it being so staggered. But maybe that's just my personal preference.
Yeah, I think the Samsung, as you said about the SA, I think that is getting announced after MWC.
Yeah.
And for me, I think Samsung are getting too much like Apple with their whole press conference style and things.
Yeah, the Unpacked events that they do.
Yeah.
Probably what they're going to do on.
Yeah, if I remember right, it's going to be in New York City, and it's just like, come on, just do your own thing. Don't be like Apple.
Yeah, don't be like Apple, definitely.
No. So they could do something completely different, but instead they decide, you know what, theirs is popular, we'll do ours very similar.
Yeah.
They don't need to, because the devices speak for themselves, except for the explodey ones.
Samsung, don't do it.
So just touching a little bit more on MWC. It's the February 27th to the 2nd of March, so that's cool. When we're hearing some good stuff.
We'll be keeping an eye out on that, definitely.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and hopefully we should have another podcast after that sometime where we can do a bit of review of what has actually been announced.
Yes.
All right, Bagsy, the Nokia 3310.
Damn you.
I'm okay with that.
I think that's end of the news.
That's it for news.
Yeah. I think what we'll
the news.
Go on to. What's filled our week? I feel like we need a theme tune. If anyone's out there who's good at writing a theme tune, what's me singing the theme tune? That's our theme tune for what's filled your week.
It needs to be jaunty.
Yeah. What's filled your week?
There we go.
That's it. I'm filling
out. I knew that.
Do I win?
Yes.
Not a lot.
You win. Yeah, nothing.
Oh, no, actually, no. You win the solace in the fact that this is going to be on the internet forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is what you win, Kurt.
So,
Mitch, what's filled your week?
PC Corner, actually. So, for me, this week it's all been about the games I've been playing, starting with Resident Evil 7, that I've got a grand total of 47 minutes into it.
And have you seen it?
On 46 of those minutes. The last minute was me going through and having a look at a very nicely decorated bathroom.
Have you ordered some more toilet roll with the Amazon Dash yet?
Not yet, but I may need to. After I'd recovered from Resident Evil, and I've been playing a little bit Conan Exiles, I don't know what to make of that. There's too much genitalia for my liking, if I'm honest.
Interesting.
So what sort of game is it? I'm not seeing Conan Exiles.
No?
It's essentially an MMO. You go around killing stuff. Survival, and you can design your penis.
Yes.
What? Yeah, it's one of those. It's a weird one.
What's the age rating on this one?
Hopefully it's an 18.
To be confirmed.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those. It's interesting. At the moment, it's still quite early access. But it's a bit of fun. And yeah, it is an 18.
There we go. At least that's fine then.
Yes. And then the next one I was playing was a little bit of For Honor in the open beta before it released on the 14th.
How was that?
What did you think of that?
I don't know what to think of it. The combat is rock solid. When you're against the computer, it's easy enough to do. When you're in a PvP scenario, it's hectic. It's insane.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. I really just couldn't get on with it.
No. I mean, using a controller would probably be easier based on the type of game it is. But using a mouse with the controller, it's... No, I'm good.
Much better with a controller, mate. I played it with a controller. I was like, nah, let's just delete this beta. Like, literally an hour. It was like, nah, delete. Delete. You're taking up hard drive space. I'm never going to play you again.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I need to get rid of the beta from my system.
Fair enough. Anything else?
That's it. That is literally all I've been playing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Jules.
So I've returned to Skyrim, and I never want to leave. So I played it when it first came out, and was kind of disappointed because I was such an Oblivion fan. If anyone's played Oblivion, it's just a heartwarming game. And Skyrim just didn't feel the same way for me. And then obviously they released the remastered version. I think it was like October-ish last year.
Yes, it was.
And I bought it and never got around to playing it. So I unwrapped it finally last week, and it is glorious. It looks incredible. The story's better than I remembered. The playability is ridiculous. I think I'm up to, 50 hours, and it's just all side quests. And I'm in the middle of so many other games. I started Resident Evil 7, got too scared, had to start it again on easy. So I've not got very far with that. And I've been trying to finish Metal Gear Solid 5 for a little while, and they've just all been swept away. So I 100% recommend it.
I got given the special edition for free because I own Skyrim in the DLCs. I've uninstalled the original and played the special edition. I am enjoying it, but I still get sidetracked by everything.
Yeah,
Skyrim's one of those games where you can literally just get sidetracked. Yeah. I've spent like a whole evening, I'm talking 8 hours, just making daggers. Just constant dagger making.
I don't want to break this to you this way, but you know, if you go out the doors of Whiterun, there's a huge world out there.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Some daggers.
Well, then, Kurt.
Right, so this week has been quite a lot, to be fair. So I've watched Rings, the film of Japanese origin, the American new version.
How was it?
Which wasn't very good, to be quite honest. I was expecting it to be cheesy. But it was. But I was expecting at least a couple of jump scares. This thing, it'll scare Mitch, but not any real person. Just Mitch is all it would scare.
Yeah, no, Kurt can vouch for how scared I can get.
What?
No.
Mitch just gets scared of everything.
Just don't need to question it. I will put a link in our chat of me getting scared at various things.
Nice. Look forward to that.
Yep. I also watched this week Resident Evil. Which again was very, very cheesy because I've got an unlimited pass. You've got to watch everything.
Okay.
It's like the law. I am on. We are on. Let me try. I'm gonna try and remember now. You put me on the spot. I think we're on 68 films since March.
What?
Which is pretty damn good, I think. We should. I set a target of 50, and we've smashed that. Resident Evil was all right. It was a lot better. It was better than Rings. There was a couple of jump scares in there, and it finished off the saga, sort of. I'm not going to spoil it. And the best film of the week has got to go to Lego Batman. Lego Batman was hilarious.
Nice.
Was hilarious.
It's on my list.
Yeah. It's honestly, it is so funny because of it's a lot of self-deprecation humor. It takes the mick out of itself a lot. It takes the mick out of Superman a lot. So you've got a whole dynamic of Joker and Batman, and it's like a love story, sort of. So the Joker really wants Batman to say he hates him. So he's like, come on, you hate me. I'm your worst enemy. And then Batman's like, no, that's Superman. He's like, Superman's not a villain. He's like, no, Superman. Superman's my worst enemy. It really is one of the funniest films I've seen in a while. It's well worth a watch. And literally, if you've got young kids, you can take the kids. It's fine. There'll be jokes that they won't get that you'll get. It's one of those sort of things.
Nice.
It's good on so many levels. Really worth a watch. Game wise, this week, like you, Mitchell, I've been playing Resident Evil in VR. If you've got Resident Evil and you haven't played it in VR, play it in VR. It is for me the game that proves that VR is viable as a full game thing. It's absolutely brilliant in VR. It's visceral. You can't play for long, like with most VR games. And if you get this, Mitchell, but you get VR fatigue after about an hour and a half. You feel like you're being overwhelmed by your senses have just been overloaded by the amount of stuff that's coming at you. But it is scary as hell.
I'm good on that.
I can take it. But Mitchell,
fortunately, you've got a PSVR. It's not available on the Rift. And I'm really, really upset about that. I'm losing sleep over how upset I am about that.
That sounds like a lie.
Small spoiler, but I will tell you, there's this one bit where the main character, which is you, get your hand cut off.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a really weird sense of looking down at your hand that literally got blood pussing out of it, a bit like your old slapstick movies. It's that squirting out of it. And you're like, my hand's been cut off. And then you look at... Then there's me looking at the woman that's just got my hand off going, you cow, what have you done to me?
Brilliant.
Oh, it's so much fun to play. So we're looking forward to the week ahead. So we've got The Great Wall with Matt Damon in, which should be quite, I don't hold much hope for it, but I think it'll be fun nonetheless. Hopefully it'll surprise me. And the one I'm most looking forward to, got John Wick out this week as well. John Wick 2.
Yes.
And if you haven't watched John Wick, if you're listening, you haven't watched John Wick the first one, go and watch it. Pick it up on Blu-ray. Pick it up with a Dolby Atmos system if you've got one, because the surround sound on it is brilliant and the film is really, really good. Really sleeper hit of whatever year it came out. Was it 2015? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yes,
but the John Wick 2, I reckon, is going to be, from the reviews I've read and things I've read about it, it could even top the original. I reckon it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, 2014 was the original.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was a year old.
The sequel time frame. Cool.
But it's perfect. It's just perfect for Keanu Reeves, because Keanu Reeves is sort of a stony-faced person, and he's immortal. Which we all know, if you've checked it on the videos, if you haven't seen that he is immortal. The character, he perfectly matches the guy. It's one of those where you couldn't imagine anybody else playing that character.
Yeah.
The same as you'd probably say Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. You can't imagine anybody else playing that role. It just wouldn't fit. No. So, Keanu Reeves, John Wick, if you haven't seen it, go and watch the original. If you have seen it, go and watch the new one next week. That's my plug for them. Send me some money if you've got some.
So what have you been watching this week, James?
Obviously I am a little bit about TV. That's what I kind of like watching, apart from when it's been sport. I've been watching, obviously, Walking Dead came back on Monday night in the UK. That was...
Are we spoiler-free?
Yeah, I ain't going to say anything, but I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I thought it was much better than last season.
It's definitely better than last season.
Yeah.
I think, personally, they've overused Negan a little bit. I would probably have liked him actually a little bit less because... Yeah. I think that he was so impactful when he's there, and he's such a one of those. I think they sort of special occasioned him a bit more.
Yeah.
But other than that, this series has been a vast step up over the previous series, which have always, for me, been nearly there, but not quite giving me what I want, whereas this season has been a lot better.
Yeah, for me, the first part of the season, there was too much going on where it was just individual stories rather than an entire thing. That's the only gripe I've had with it so far. But this week's episode was just so much better. It just brought everything together, I thought.
Yeah. I think in hindsight, now it's coming together, you're like, oh, now I get why they were doing those episodes.
Yes, exactly. So it's well worth watching so far. I haven't really watched much other things this week, but I did want to talk about stuff that I have watched previously. So on Netflix, you've got Designated Survivor, which is quite topical with the whole presidential campaign and the inauguration things going on. It's quite similar-ish. Just a random guy's just been thrown.
How are you finding that?
Love it. Cannot wait.
I'm struggling a little bit with Kiefer Sutherland not being Jack Bauer.
Yeah, it is like, a little bit
literally
odd.
Like, I'm like, I really want him to be badass. I'm like, be badass. But he's not in that program, and it does struggle me a little. But other than that, it is a good program. It is very good.
The other one, which I've actually recently finished, which was Frequency, which I don't know whether you guys have seen it on Netflix or anything, but
no, not watched that one yet.
That is really good. It was done originally as just on a week-by-week basis, so we had to wait for the following Thursday to watch it, but it was one of the things where I actually really looked forward to getting back into it.
It's based on the film, wasn't it?
I didn't know that.
I think there was a film with Dennis Quaid in, if I remember right. It's quite an old one, but I'm pretty sure they remade it, but they changed a bit around.
Well, fair enough. To be fair. Yeah, that's good to know. Other thing I've been watching, actually, Shooter, the TV series, which is based,
like
on,
that.
Based on the movie, with Mark Wahlberg being an executive producer on it, which I thought was quite cool. And then, things I'm looking forward to, new season of Sense8.
Yes, I've been off this week, so I have binge-watched, like, most of Netflix.
Yeah.
So I did the whole of Sense8. I did the whole of the OA.
That's good as well.
And I've done a couple of other things. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Sense8. I actually, I tried watching it before and I didn't get it from the first episode. It didn't grab me immediately.
Yes.
If there's one recommendation I want to give to the people listening, it's that it is a slow burn series. It is something where there's a lot of characters you've got to get into. So give it a good few episodes before you make a decision.
Yeah. And then I don't think I can get away without talking about the Grand Tour.
No.
And that, for me, the whole series behind it, it was a very slow beginning. It was a great first episode. Second and third were absolutely atrocious in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree. The second and third, I don't know what they were doing. It seemed like they were more having digs.
So let's put the thing on the line. The second and third episode were atrocious, but were they still better than Top Gear?
No.
Yes. The new Top Gear, yes.
The new Top Gear, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really hated that Live, Die, Repeat episode. That, for me, was just pointless. There was no need for it. I mean, you could say that about a lot of the new Top Gear, but I think that was just crap.
Yeah.
But I like the way it ended the series. That last episode was actually something else.
It was probably, from me at least, it was probably one of the better ones out of the entire series.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, that first episode said everything about it. It was just that intro. It was fantastic. Him, Jeremy Clarkson leaving BBC and that drive through the desert. Oh, loved it.
It was done really well.
Yeah. You can tell they've put a lot of money in it. What was it? They're putting through three seasons. Was it over $230 million or something daft like that?
Yep.
That's all our Dash Toilet Roll money.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it from me in terms of this last week. Yeah.
Now on to the last section.
So it's the Q&A section. So for those of you watching, we are all... Our job description is guru. So we asked people in our stores that we work at a question about technology and if they have anything for us to try and answer or to try and find out information about. So let's start off with Jules this time. What did you get?
So someone in my store wanted to know what we thought the best value brand for headphones was. So not compromising on quality, whether it's in-ear or over-ear, just generally. If you're going to spend some money on headphones, who should you go for?
I'm going to just put this out there because I'm a Razer fanboy.
Yeah.
Razer Kraken 7.1, 80 quid, recommend.
Are we talking about gaming headphones or are we talking about music headphones?
Good all-rounder.
For me,
well,
I've recently got
music is where I went.
Yeah. The ones I've got are the JBL Everest. They for wireless headphones, absolutely spot on. I've had issues with that wireless headphones because of my height. I tried, you know, the Braggy Dash headphone? Tried them. As soon as I start walking, puts out.
Oh, no way.
You're too tall for Bluetooth.
Oh, no. How mad's that?
We should get you a t-shirt made.
Love it. If you could do that, Kurt, I'll be but yeah, so these JBL ones, I mean, they come down and they've got the little sort of antenna about there, and that's not much. Only 5 centimeters away. Makes a world of difference. It actually works. And they sound great. But for me, they normally cost about 80 quid, so same as your Razer ones. That's for me. My favourites.
I should also point out the only downside to these Razer ones, you won't be able to plug them into a phone without a USB port.
Fair enough.
They're designed for gaming.
So they can't work for all round. So for me, it all depends on what the main use is going to be. For gaming, I'm probably with Mitchell, probably Razer or Astro are the two big boys that give you the best bang for your buck. Otherwise, if you're going for phones, I'd probably say Sennheisers for me seem to perform the best.
Yes.
But your best bet, like anything in tech, is read the reviews, assimilate as many reviews as you can. If you want to buy something, you haven't looked on the net first, you ain't doing it right. You need to be on there, see what the reviews are saying. What are people testing it? Let's have a look. And there's a lot of good websites out there that you can use. We'll be doing some reviews ourselves. There's people like Trusted Reviews, people like Engadget, people like that. They do brilliant reviews. Just go and have a look, see what they're rated, and it all depends on your personal circumstances. There's no right answer for this one.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, from a gaming perspective, my Razer, I love them. I'm not going to change. From when I'm heading to work or when I'm heading anywhere and I'm listening to music, I've got a pair of Sennheisers that I've had now about 8 years. They're still going what they need to. And I think spent like 15 quid from HMV before they went under and then came back. They work really well. I mean, I've had some Bluetooth headphones that I got from my S7, the Jabra Pulse. They're great because they're wireless.
Yeah.
But I don't rate the battery life on them. Whereas I prefer wired, because the only thing that's going to stop you listening to music is if your phone dies.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. And one last thing from me on that, on the headphones, don't buy Beats.
Oh, Beats are overrated. Too expensive. Overpriced. Overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mitch, what questions did you get?
So I asked around, and one question that I got, which is a bit of a weird one to answer, but it's how can VR be used at sporting events to enhance the experience?
Okay.
And that was from Nick in Coventry.
Nice. I think for me, the best way would be player vision or ref vision. I think for me, if it didn't look too weird, you'd just stick a camera on top of their heads. I think probably best would be the ref view. And you could then actually see on field. I think for me, that would be quite a cool thing.
It'd be pretty cool if you had a goal line camera.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You could see from the goal line.
Yeah, that would actually be, that'd be quite cool.
FIFA, my idea.
I think from my point of view, not necessarily going for like the generic sports, so your football, your rugby. Yeah. It'd be great from an ice hockey perspective, have a camera on the goal, have a camera behind the goals so you can get a full perspective. Yeah. I know Kurt will agree with this. Wrestling events, have them in the turnbuckles, below the turnbuckles, so you can get an actual overview of what's happening in the ring rather than just watching it on the TV.
Yeah.
So it's plausible, but then...
Tell you what else would be good. You could have a seat in the dugout. So, like, all they've got to do is literally have a camera on one of the seats in the dugout. I think that I'll probably have to turn the audio off because there'll probably be a lot of swearing. So they'll have to do an audio feed from, like, the crowd instead. Yeah. But, like, imagine you're sitting there in the dugout, like, you look to your right, there's Jose Mourinho scribbling down some notes. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would behind be. You've got Wayne Rooney, who's now on the bench again.
It definitely does have the ideas, but then for me at least, if I'm going to go and see hockey, I'm going to go and watch the hockey. I'm not going to go take a VR headset with me.
No.
When I mean afterwards, so yeah, I can put my headset on and watch. Hang on, that shouldn't have been a goal. That's absolute ridiculous. That did not go in. You can argue that, but when you're at the event, I don't think it's something that should be considered.
For me, it would be for people who can't make it to the game or the event itself. I think if you had it at home, that would be great.
If you can't make it, having something. I know that Oculus did the SummerSlam event on the Rift.
Right.
That was really good. It was informative. It was fun to look at. You could see different entrances and different stuff in the ring. So if you weren't at that event, it was nice getting that look at things.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah.
Yeah. What did you get asked?
So I got asked, a gentleman in my store called Saeed, he's just bought a £2,500 TV and he wanted to spend some money, get some surround sound on there, but he wanted to spend about £1,000.
Nice.
So my opinions on this subject are going to be controversial to many people in the world. Don't buy a soundbar, they're terrible. That's my personal opinion. I hate soundbars. Soundbars are for people who can't be bothered to run a wire around the living room. And you'll never get the quality you want. I would say always go for separates. So in this case, I would say a similar amp to mine, which is a mid-range amp, which is the Denon 2300W, which you can pick up with some speakers. So generally places like Richer Sounds, some of the more independent places to buy audio equipment are going to sell things separately. And you can get those with some speakers for £719 with the Tannoy speakers. And they're going to do you a really good job. You always need to remember with buying separates is you don't get the wires. You've got to pay for wires as well. So you're looking about 10% of whatever you pay, you're going to be looking for wires. So you're looking about £130 extra for wires. So that'll put us up about the £900 mark. But the good thing about the Denon is it supports Dolby Atmos. So if anybody hasn't used Dolby Atmos yet or listened to Dolby Atmos, Dolby Atmos is a 3D sound technology. So you have your normal 5-point set around speakers and then you'll have another two minimum that just face the ceiling. And what it does is in certain films, it'll project that sound onto your ceiling. So when you've got like a helicopter going over the top, then you've got all that sound. So a particular good demo that I've seen on mine is they do like a rainforest. So the rain's coming down. And literally, this sound was that good, I actually went cold. That's how good the sound was. It made me cold because my body was like, it's raining, you should be cold.
That's cool.
That's how good it is. So if you get a chance, try and pick yourself up Dolby Atmos surround system. There's also DTS:X, which does a very, very similar thing. Both are really good. But you want to pick up some up speakers. So a company called Alaka, the one that I've got. Or you can buy the Onkyo up speakers, which you're looking at about £100 for those. So that'll still keep you under the £1,000 mark that he said, but you're going to get the best sound possible that way, because it's all about the sound for me, and that's me.
Well, I was going to take questions from audience, but unfortunately, we've not had any. Have you guys got any questions that you?
We've got one more question that was from Dan in Oxford.
Okay.
How can I make my photos stand out on social media?
Right, I can probably answer that one because I do a little bit of photos on Instagram and things. Mm-hmm. You had a decent photo editing app on your phone. Never just upload the raw image. The one I particularly use a lot is Snapseed. I mean, for ease of use, it is so good. You've got things like HDRscape on there, which just adds the HDR effect to it. You can make it black and white very easily. You can have silver grain. There was one particular picture that I got on there, which is just my street, just at night. But I had all the street lamps on, so it was in colour. Made it black and white, made it grainy, and it was absolutely brilliant. Lots of people commented on it, thought it was brilliant. And then another one I did was I went to a cafe which only serves things like hot chocolate, which is great. Chocolate. And I did a photo in there. And similar sort of thing. I made it black and white, but I made sort of the edges of the cups and things a little bit older using Snapseed. And it had quite a few views on Google Maps because I put it on there. And it just, that's how you do it. You want to use things like Snapseed, Photoshop Mix as well, which is free on phones as well. And even use a tablet to make it a little bit bigger and make it a lot easier to do that editing.
My biggest thing for photos has got to be what is called the rule of third. So yes. you split your photo up into three parts and nothing, your subject should be either in the left part or the right part, not in the middle. Because if you put them in the middle, it doesn't look good. So by using the rule of third, it's going to make your photos look far more interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, I think for me, taking a photo, you have to make sure that you've got the subject in focus and properly prepared.
And from angles?
So angles are pretty important. Sometimes I'm trying to take an interesting picture of something that's quite normal. You experiment with the angle, maybe from, even if you have to crouch on the floor and sort of look up, just it's an angle that you wouldn't see walking past, say if it's a building or something. And that can just make people look twice at it because, like I said, it's not an angle you'd see every day. So it makes you look at something normal in a different way. That works quite well.
I think we might be coming to an end now.
I think so.
Sure. Well, that's it from us. If you have listened and got all the way through, thanks for listening. Like I said, my name is James, and it's a goodbye from me.
I've been Mitchell.
It's goodbye.
Goodbye from me.
I'm Kurt. Goodbye from me. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us any comments and any questions you want answered in other episodes.
And goodbye from Jules. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter.
At Textbird Talks.
That's the one.
Cool. Thanks and good night.